Hey there, you're welcome to Founders Connect, a show where I have conversations with amazing entrepreneurs and operators in Africa. This is the right show for you to be listening to if you love behind-the-scenes stories about people, their careers, and not their businesses. My name is PC Timmy, and I'm very, very, very delighted to be your host. You can follow this conversation on social media, hashtag Founders Connect. You can watch the video of each episode on my YouTube channel at PC Timmy, or just search for Founders Connect on YouTube to find the playlist. Also, please share this podcast, subscribe to the podcast, leave a comment, leave a rating, and you know, share it, hashtag Founders Connect. Enjoy the episode. Hey guys, you're welcome to another Founders Connect video. Here I have conversations with entrepreneurs of leading startups in Africa, and it's usually always amazing. Right, today I'm going to speak to the CEO and co-founder of Bitnob. His name is Bernard Pryor. Hi, Bernard.
Hi, Peace.
How you doing?
I'm good. It just feels good to be here.
Ah, yeah. It feels good to have you here too. Yeah. Alrighty. So, Bernard, tell me about you. Who are you? Aside co-founder, CEO, what's your background? Where did you grow up? Everything.
Okay, interesting. Looks like one of those difficult questions that you don't want to have in an exam hall, right? But I'm from Jos, Plateau State, the first of five boys.
Oh.
Yeah, and I think that has defined my life in so many ways. Mm. It informs a lot of my hobbies. So.
How do you mean though?
Yeah, so like if I want to de-stress, if I just want to relax, you find me either doing the dishes, cooking, or just finding something random to clean, like.
Jesus.
Yeah, because, you know, growing up, helping take care of the boys and all of that.
All boys.
Yeah, all boys. So, well, you refer to our house as a girl's, as a boys' hostel. So,
right.
Our mom is the only lady
in the
hostel. Yeah, so I schooled, primary school in Jos, secondary school in Jos, went to University of Abuja sometime in 2010, 2011. Mm-hmm. Dropped out late 2011.
Just like a year? Spent only 1 year?
Yeah, I didn't really want to. My parents wanted me to like study medicine. I didn't want it, so mm-hmm. I kind of like just left. 2013 moved to Ghana to study. I was lucky to study computer science.
Right.
In between that, you know, most of just growing up in Jos, kind of like a really fun place. Really cool things to do with the periodic crisis and all of that. It's kind of like a mixture of, but I think it's been fun growing up. So I'm just a simple guy. I'm just your typical Jos guy. We just
cool, calm, chill.
Yeah, we just do our things. Just fun. It's good vibes at our end.
Awesome. Tell me about your time in Ghana. So when you moved for school, did you graduate this time? What happened?
Why would you ask me that question? Okay. So, I don't know how to put it because a couple of my friends had to like force me to write my final papers.
See why I asked.
Because, after my first year, so I stayed home for 2 years. Then when I went back to Ghana, I was kind of like, okay, this first year, I'm just going to study hard enough to prove to myself that I can still do something in class.
Mm.
And if I get a good result, then that's all. I don't have anything to prove to myself again. So after my first year, kind of just, you know, switched off. So I was doing my own coding stuff, like freelancing.
When did you learn how to code?
Yeah, I started actively in 2013 when I moved to Ghana.
When
I moved to Ghana. But before then, I was like, I used to do a lot of computer stuff. So back in the day of Symbian phones, Java phones, a lot of those times, like, we used to have like, you know, the cheat codes to free browsing. I mean, the early days, like WAPTRICK, WAPDAM, all of those days, 0708. So I used to do that, you know, teach. I was still in secondary school, I used to teach Excel, Microsoft Word back then and make some money from it. For coding was 2013. So kind of just took myself out of the class.
Mm-hmm.
Even while I'm in class, I'm just coding, like. But if there is a test, I find a way to like quickly catch up. But I think the interesting thing was a lot of the things I was learning were things that, you know, our lecturers came to also teach us. So I was kind of ahead, so I could, you know, answer the questions. And I really liked the teachers because, the lecturers, because they didn't like want to say you must give it from their handout or what they taught. They just want to see how you think about things, or what you understand about this concept. And that was, so it made life really easy for me. I think it was really a fun time. You know, it took some time to kind of adjust. You know, to the environment, but you know, Ghana is much like slower, calmer than Nigeria. So, and I was getting used to like having 24 hour slides.
Always getting shady in Nigeria.
It was fun.
Amazing. So, how did Bidnob start, and when did it start?
Yeah. So, I don't know. Like, Bidnob started in like 2017.
2017. Yeah. It's been like 4 years now.
Yeah. So, and it is kind of like a side project. So Bidnob has like gone through several iterations and stuff. But in 2017, what happened then was, I used to do a lot of like OTC trading in Accra.
Right.
So, and you know, starting Bitcoin early, like got to know a lot of people in Accra, was supplying. So if you wanted like 100K, 200K worth of Bitcoin, I'm the guy that
USD or CDs.
Sorry?
USD.
Wow. So I was the guy that could, you know, find a way to like get it for you from like different suppliers and make it happen. And it was like a web of trust.
Right.
So the more trust you had on the streets, you know, the more everyone wanted to do business with you. So I had that kind of social currency that I was using. But I was working for a couple of organizations back then, while freelancing as well. So spoke to someone, you know, Ryan Strauss, he's in the US, so we spoke and he's like, you know, you seem to know a lot about Bitcoin and all of that, you know, what are you doing about it? So this is what I do. He's like, why don't you make it a formal business? I said, okay, sounds like fun, but I didn't really take him serious. I think that was, we had that conversation like early 2017, but, you know, I was still doing like a lot of research, and sometime later that year, I figured, I want to create a career for myself in this space, right? There's a shortage of talent. This thing is going to be big. Mm-hmm. You know, in the next 5-10 years, you know, I want to be able to like be ahead of the curve before people realize what was happening. So I dropped, I kind of quit my full-time job to just be on my own.
Right.
So I was freelancing and doing Bidnob as a side kind of project, right? I just had like a simple website. Hello, you know.
What could people do on the website at that time?
Basically, it's just like you just come, sign up, and then there's a form for you to, you know, enter the amount of Bitcoin you want to buy and stuff. And I give you my mobile money, send the money. Once you send the money, I'm gonna make your Bitcoin available for you and stuff. So it's just simple. And I was staying with one of my friends back then, Kobina, so kind of like running it together. Yeah, but so I came back to Nigeria in 2018
after school.
Yeah, I had graduated in like 2016. If you call it graduation, I've not gone for my certificates. I don't know if I have carryovers. I don't know.
You just went to them like,
Yeah. I just know that I'm not going to school again. Mm-hmm. So, came back to Nigeria in 2018, and you know, reconnected with one of my current co-founders at Adeolu. We had originally met in 2013.
Right.
And just kept in touch. Then reconnected. And he's like, this is the project I've been working on. But, you know, I'm going back to Accra, so what do you think? And he's like, what are you going back to do in Accra? You know, just stay around. We can build a lot of things together. Like, what are you going to do there? So I said, okay, I'm going to stay for like 2 weeks. 2 weeks went to, got to like 2-3 years. And yeah, so 2018, we tried like a couple of things with the product. Didn't really fly as much as what I wanted. Build like a voucher thing, so you buy a voucher and then you exchange it for Bitcoin. Didn't really fly as much as I wanted. 2019, we tried building a non-custodial kind of wallet, so something like a blockchain wallet. Didn't really fly as much as I wanted. Why? Most of us are like part-time on the project.
Right.
We didn't really want to, no one was fully committed to it. So late 2019 as well, we worked on another startup. So it's funny, when we're finishing the startup, that's when we're realizing, like, look, man, this is not going to fly. Like, we're not even giving it time. So I called my team again and I said, guys, you know what? Look, we've been building stuff, right, in the crypto space. We've built stuff for US companies, you know, Asian companies. You know, we've done stuff. We have one of the best teams that can build. And there's a huge opportunity here. There's a huge problem. There's a clear problem that needs solving. so why don't we, like, you know, just decide to go. And what I told them was, this is what we're going to do. This time, we're going to all go in full time.
Right.
When we go in full time, if it works, then we know that, good, it has worked. If it doesn't work, we're not going to regret not ever giving it our full attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then so 2020, we kind of discarded every single thing we had ever built for Bidnob and restarted from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
So started with an app that just does dollar cost averaging, and, you know, by May we started private beta. So that was just like, you know, the tip of everything that just happened.
Amazing, interesting journey. So what does Bidnob do now?
Yeah. Okay, so Bidnob is evolving so fast. For me to catch up. So first, what Bidnob does now is we have what we call the Bidnob savings.
Mm-hmm.
So basically leverages the concept of dollar cost averaging. So periodic savings, you know, regardless of the price of the asset, just to kind of smoothen out the volatility for you. So we have that. Then we have what we call the NOP credit. So that's kind of, okay, you've been saving with your Bitcoins, but you want, you have an emergency, like instead of selling your Bitcoin, we're going to keep that Bitcoin as a collateral and give you a loan.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the NOP credit, right? We also have Lightning Network integration. So for Lightning Network, you could, you know, spend, you know, it's kind of impossible to spend, say, 100 naira worth of Bitcoin, right? But with Lightning Network, you could do that, right? Microtransactions, you could buy virtual cards, buy airtime. Basically, it just makes Bitcoin, it gives Bitcoin that currency, you know, effect that just makes it a currency, easily usable daily, right? And then we have Bidnob APIs. So typically, when you see a crypto app, it's mostly leveraging on, like, APIs from, like, other companies around the world. But most of what we're using is kind of entirely built in-house by Bidnob. So what we're doing is we're allowing other companies who want to build something similar to Bidnob around Africa to build their own things. So this is some of the services.
Amazing. So since you guys went full-time in 2020, what has been, like, the big wins that said, oh yes, we are glad that we did this?
I think the biggest was our Lightning integration, Lightning Network integration. So it's still relatively new. Not a lot of companies have done it. A lot of companies have also been saying they're going to do it, but they've not been able to do it. It's a highly technical thing to do right now, right? So for us to be able to, like, have been able to build out our own in-house infrastructure, you know, to do that and even expose it as APIs, you know, it's just like a really huge win. And then we collaborating to kind of do like a demo with Jack Mallers of Strike, kind of just like, yeah guys, like this is some big deal that we just pulled off, like even if we don't feel it's a big deal, it's an actual big deal because it just opens up a lot of possibilities for, you know, trade, commerce, remittances, you know, between Africa and the rest of the world. So I think that's like the biggest win for us.
That's amazing. And how many users do you guys have? If you can share some of those numbers anyway.
I'm not big on sharing numbers, but it's between somewhere between 15 to 20,000 right now. We came out of private beta in January with around...
January 2021.
We came out with less than 1,000, like around 900 or so. So
now it's almost a 20K.
Yeah.
Exactly.
15,
so have you guys raised? Are you looking to raise, or what are the plans?
We did a pre-seed early this year, and so we're just finalizing our seed raise. So the announcement should be out in a couple of weeks.
So you'll not tell us. This video is probably not going to come out until after you announce the raise.
It depends on when the video is coming out, but I think in 3 or 4 weeks we should be able to.
It's going to come out after.
It's going to come out after 3.
Yeah, November.
Okay, yeah, we've raised. The final amount is not yet decided because we're probably adding more. Yeah, so but then we've raised our seed.
So in the last couple of years of just like doing this as a side hustle, doing this as a landing page, moving to Nigeria and saying, you know what, I can actually build this with my friends, now actually like saying, okay, this is the company. And just before we started, you're like, you guys are about over 20 people in the team now, right? Like, what are the lessons that you've learned?
I think the first lesson for me is kind of, I know it sounds like cliche, but it's kind of if you like really put your head and heart into doing something, you can actually get it done, right? It's just moments of focus, moment of intensity, like some kind of sprints that you just go through and, you know, things will happen. The other thing as well that I think I've learned, because it's like, this is not just I and a couple of other friends working on this as a side project. It's like you're having to like manage a whole team of people, right? Different dynamics, different generations. So you have yourself Gen Zs, you have the 40 plus, you have the 30 plus. So it's kind of like a tricky thing. But I think one thing that has really helped me navigate that is first, I kind of approach everyone with like good intentions, and even when anyone comes to me, I assume it's good intentions, right? I'm trying to like really communicate clearly, and the one question I keep asking myself whenever I'm dealing with everyone is if I would want someone I work for to or work with to treat me the like same way, right? So, and I think one thing I'm like really lucky to have within the team is we're mostly like a low ego team, right? So I've noticed in a lot of cases where people's egos are just like by the side, like let's just get the work done, that's what matters. A lot of teamwork, and you know, and I think we kind of underestimate the power of like dreaming big and wanting to carry everyone along. Dreaming big, you know, that thing, like someone could love something or the vision that you have as much as you do, right? They could key into it, and you just need to give them that chance to express themselves and all of that. So I've seen people come in as interns, you know, today they are pushing a lot of things on their own. You know, when they came in, you would have probably thought that, you know, why should I trust you with this and all of that? So giving people a chance to like really do their best work, and then, you know, taking feedback. So I've messed up a lot of times, I'm a stubborn guy, so people, but you know, I'm lucky that they're always able to approach me and say, hey, you know, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have done it this way. And those are some of the lessons I've kind of learned.
Amazing. I mean, so when you started, right, you started with your friends and like our co-founders. I know you before built something, but now you're hiring people. What kind of people do you look out for when you hire?
The first thing is low ego people. That's like the first thing, because I think once you're able to keep your ego on the side, there's a lot you can do, right? And if not, that beating up is kind of becoming more popular these days, and people are kind of, well, people know Bernard on Twitter and all of that. Like, if you notice, I've removed CEO from my profile. Just like, if you wouldn't even know, right?
Yeah.
It's the fact that, you know, sometimes people are even able to come into the company and they don't even know that this guy is the CEO, right? So people don't even know this guy is the CTO, this guy, because everyone just communicates with everyone at the same level. So like really low ego, like no one cares where you've been, what you've done, and everything. Like, we have a mission, let's just get things done together. One other thing that we look out for is resilience, right? So think of this, working in fintech in Nigeria is already like stressful. Then on top of that, fintech, you know, add crypto
on it.
So it's kind of like you need people who are like really resilient, who won't take no for an answer. That's the other thing we're looking for. We're looking for people who are like really curious. You know, when someone just says something, before you know, the person has gone, done their own research. People who are not afraid to try out new things, right? People are not afraid to make mistakes. So sometimes people come in and we see that, notice that they're afraid of making mistakes. So we have to like deliberately help them understand that mistakes are normal. Like, they're normal. I make mistakes sometimes. I break the code.
So you still code?
I actively could, I still
could. Said, but I thought you were doing just like CEO in.
Oh, CEO. I mean, so it's kind of a balance, right? In the space we're in, there's like a huge shortage of technical talent who can actually build stuff on Bitcoin and all of that. So, you know, until we get to a place where I can easily get a lot of talent to help us work, you know, I'd have to like, you know, keep on, you know, helping out. And I just love coding. I just love it. I don't want to miss out on the action. So I'm kind of jealous whenever I'm fundraising and I'm not able to code.
So you're kind of jealous.
Yeah, so, but then, yeah.
Well, what has fundraising been like? Has it been easy for you guys? Was it hard? What lessons were you learning as you're raising money?
Okay, I know. So, I mean, if something good happens to me, I should say it. See, like I should say it, I'll try. So, I think our first fundraising, for example, honestly wasn't difficult for us. It was mostly intros. We didn't really need to. I mean, personally, I don't like filling forms right from time. So if I go to a VC's website and I see like, do this, list that, I don't like it. Mm. So I didn't really like do a lot of form filling.
Yeah.
We're just lucky enough that you could, the first few investors we spoke to like really liked it, they liked us. And it was intros and kind of like almost everyone we spoke to like was in.
Yeah.
Right. So we kind of like closed that like really early. And I think it was because of the Christmas break that it went took longer than it took. But you know, if you combine everything, it's probably 2-3 weeks and everything was in. We just closed it. Like more monies were coming in, but we just like closed it. And you know, for the current fundraise as well, I don't think the stress was really talking to investors and all of that. Like, okay, it's kind of like a no-brainer for a lot of them. The most thing is just been paperwork. So I'll be honest, we've had a couple of rejections, but I mean, it's just, I have my own way of seeing rejections. I just feel like the person didn't reject me, the person just rejected the idea, and you know, I mean, fine, you know, they'll miss out. I feel they'll miss out, and it's okay. Like, it's not, you know, there's always something good out of it as well. So I think the biggest lesson that I've learned while fundraising, it's kind of like just be yourself. Before I used to think of fundraising as, you know, have to rehearse what I have to tell them, I have to rehearse this, I have to do this, like think of it so much. No, that's not how I do it. I just come to you and it's just me. I'm just having a conversation with you. That's how I assume. So it's like you and I, we just sit in a cafe right now. And you're like, oh, Bernard, this thing you're building, tell me about it. Right? And I'm just gisting you. I just take it like gist, right? I'm asking you questions as well while talking to you. So I think it removes that part of nervousness. It allows you to be original. It allows you not to make promises just to make someone like really happy. And you know, it's just be yourself. Just, I think that's the most important thing I've learned. It's a draining process. Sometimes you might talk to like 10 different people.
Yeah.
And it's in good day. When you're done, your head is just knocked. And I think that's the most important thing I've learned.
That's amazing. And so what next for Bitnob as you guys are closing your seed? I'm like, okay, you know what? Like, this is where we want to get to in the next 24 months, in the next 12 months. Where are we expecting to see you and the company?
Yeah, I think in the next 24 months, especially, you should see us all around Africa. And you're not going to see us around Africa as like a Bitcoin company, right? You're just going to see us as a company that's providing financial services. But a lot of those services will be powered by kind of, you know, build on Bitcoin. So the way you build services today, you need a banking layer, all of that kind of thing. But we're doing all of that on an entirely new, building like an entirely new kind of economy, connecting these countries. And that's like the most important goal for us, right? Like reaching the last mile, reaching people, you know, with services that they don't even know it's been powered by kind of Bitcoin and all of that. So that's where I see us like really going to, and everything we're building is, you know, to realize that vision.
Amazing. Yeah. Any final words?
I mean, it's just, and see, this life is short. Like, just whenever you find a chance to be happy, like, take it.
Choose happiness first.
Honestly, whenever you find a chance to smile, whenever you find a chance to like laugh, like really laugh from the depth of your heart, like enjoy every single moment, you know, because the dark days are going to hear. But it's kind of
that's amazing. He says enjoy yourself, choose happiness first. But I think one of the one that I'm living with is when you said you guys had been doing Bitnob for like a couple 2 years, 2018 to 2020, right?
Yeah, 2017.
And it was just like, I will try this product, even we'll try this product.
It died a couple of times.
Everybody was doing like part time and decided, you know what, this year I want to give it our full attention and focus.
Yeah.
And I saw a tweet a couple of weeks ago, I think it was by E, where he said, focus is a multiplier effect, right? Every other thing that I can't remember, but I remember that sentence, focus is a multiplier effect, which means that when you give your all to something and you say, hey, this is what I want to build at this time, it has the potential to actually like become something bigger. Yeah. Versus when you're like 20% of my time and you're just like not really paying attention there. Really, so if like if you want to see like real growth in work, in your business, in your career, give it your all. Yeah. Right? Like be diligent and like focus, and of course choose happiness.
always
amazing. Thank you so much, Bernard, for doing this video with
me.
And thank you guys for watching this video to the end. Make sure you like, share, comment, share, comment. Most importantly, please subscribe.
Yeah.
See you in the next video. Peace out.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast to the end. I hope you really enjoyed this episode. I hope that you have been inspired or motivated to get better in your careers, in your businesses, in your life. I hope this, you enjoyed it. If you did, please make sure you subscribe to the videos on my YouTube channel at PCTimmy, or just search for Founders Connect and you'll find the playlist and then subscribe to the channel. Also, please subscribe to this podcast wherever you are listening to it. Leave a rating also so more people can find it, and also talk about the episode that you listen to. #FoundersConnect across social media. Hey, I'll see you in the next episode. Peace out.